So if you look at any news site worldwide today, everybody is talking about whether Trump's peace deal will be adopted by Russia and the Ukraine. And in order to help us better understand what is going on, is Stephen Groost, political analyst at the South African Institute of International Affairs. As always, Stephen, thanks for being with me on Chai FM.
Thanks, Simon. Nice.
I hope the line gets better and not worse. Let's see how we go with this call. But if you can hear me, Stephen, I guess my first question is, how would you frame Donald Trump's proposed peace deal? What are the main elements as we understand them?
Yeah, this has been in the works for a while. Trump published a 21-point plan, and then it was revised down to fewer points, I think 13. Basically, it's going to seek to freeze the conflict where it is, give Russia control over those Russian-speaking areas in the Donbas region in the east of Ukraine that it's already taken by force, and Ukraine's not happy about that at all. And we almost where we were 6 months ago. Trump is trying to apply pressure, but I don't think he's applied as much pressure on Russia that as he could. You know, a few weeks ago, the story was how frustrated he was going to be and wanting to put in new sanctions measures. But yeah, it's not a great deal for Ukraine, because there's also a lot of vagueness about what would happen if the fighting stopped and whether there would be security guarantees for Ukraine going forward. What's to say Russia won't attack again in a few years' time as it regroups and resupplies and replenishes its army?
Stephen, just take me back, remind me. I seem to have forgotten. What were the initial Russian aims at the outbreak of this war? Because I seem to remember them attacking Kyiv, which was apparently going to fall imminently. And now we're talking about the Donbas. Something's not making sense to me here.
Yeah, we've got to turn back. I mean, this you could go back a long way, but it's important to remember 2014, which was when Russia annexed the Crimea, and there were already at that stage troops in Ukraine. They were not identified as Russian soldiers, but everybody knew they were Russian soldiers. They were referred to as the Little Green Men. And they have been occupying that area ever since for the last 11 years. Then, of course, in February 2022, Russia conducted what it called a special military operation. And you're right, they made moves in the Donbas region, but they also attacked Kyiv. And they thought that Zelensky would go running as fast as he could, that the regime would collapse, and that a Russian-friendly government could be installed in Ukraine, if not Ukraine actually reabsorbed into Russia, because of course it was part of the Soviet Union, got
Yes, what I
independence in
thought.
1991.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. I thought they did not believe that there was an entity or that there should be an entity named Ukraine, that it was part of the Kyiv Rus. It was their Russian homeland. And as far as they were concerned, it was Russian territory.
That's very much what Putin thinks. He published a paper a few years ago that denied that there was any independence for Ukraine, that it was not a nation, that it didn't have a language, that it was essentially an estranged brother from the Russians. And I've got Ukrainian friends who are very nationalistic and, you know, feel that they've been absolutely colonized by Moscow. All those many years ago, from when the Tsar, in the reigns of the Tsar, and of course under the Soviet Union, it was one of the socialist republics, fought for its independence, got its independence in 1991, and doesn't want to give it up.
Well, and certainly the Russians, by doing what they're doing, they have created a Ukrainian nationalism, whether they like it or not. It exists. They fought very hard to maintain it. Anyway, I'm more interested in what you think about as to why this deal has gained attention now, and what does it signal about US foreign policy priorities?
Well, you know, I think Trump gets criticized a lot. He's been very single-minded in trying to pursue peace in various conflict theaters around the world, including in the Middle East, and you've got to give him credit for sticking with it and for really trying to bash out something. I think there's worry about going into winter in Ukraine, where, sorry, apologies for my dog barking, where the weather is going to be bad, and Russia has been systematically attacking energy infrastructure, electricity infrastructure, and so on. I think as we come towards the end of the year, there is this pressure building up. We've had visits to to Russia by Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner. They've been talking to Putin. But if you hear it from Zelensky's perspective, he just sees Putin absolutely buying time and not being serious about wanting to end this war. And of course, Zelensky is supported by NATO forces, and they don't want to lose this war either. So it does seem to be getting to a point where both sides feel that peace is better than war, which is often called the ripeness point in conflict resolution, which we might not have had 6 months ago. But I also see the sides still as very far apart.
Isn't it ending exactly in the way that people said it would 2-3 years ago? I recall the discussions way back when saying they're going to have to, Ukraine that is, give up the Donbas. That is going to have to happen along with the Crimea. Is that not exactly where we are now?
Yeah, that's exactly where we are now. And thousands and hundreds of thousands of soldiers on both sides have died unnecessarily because the leaders can't get to an agreement. But you know, you can see it from Zelensky's point of view that he doesn't want to give up his sovereignty and territory that he believes belongs to Russia. Belongs to Ukraine. The reality is, though, that the Russians are occupying that region and that they are 80% Russian speaking. Unfortunately, we're in an era where might is right, and the norms that we had for 30 years or since the end of the Cold War are being slowly eroded. And this power play looks like, much to the horror of Democrats with a small d, legitimized, and that this taking of territory is going to be agreed to.
Final question for you this afternoon, Stephen. In your view, does Trump's peace plan have any realistic chance of being implemented, or is it just more symbolic than practical?
I think it's got elements that would be obvious to anybody trying to solve this conflict. It talks about exchange of prisoners, talks about the return of Ukrainian children that have been taken into Russia. It talks about ceasefire, and so I think there are definitely elements, but the two leaders are going to have to make the calculation that peace is better than war, and I'm still not sure we're at that point yet.
Stephen, as always, thank you for your time this afternoon. We will be keeping tabs on you, finding out what is developing in this issue as it does develop.